page Samach Gimel, right before the wide lines. Samach Gimel. Hey, you know what? They're almost there. We almost finished the Masechta, by the way, on the last page. I mean, okay. Right before the, here. Right before the wide lines. No, one page back. There. Yeah. Right before the wide lines. Darash Bar Kapada. Right before the first wide lines. Darash Bar Kapada, Bar Kapada learnt. Ezel Pashuk Tana, what is a small portion of the Torah that Shekol Gufei Torah Tluyim Ba, that all the fundamentals of Torah are dependent on it. Now, what puts the whole Torah into a nutshell, so to speak? What's the essence of the whole Torah? So he says, the positive says, B'chol Derechecha Da'eil, which Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, which means, all your ways you should know Hashem, V'yayashar Chesecha, and he's going to straighten out your paths. Okay, what does this mean? According to Chassidus, it's explained in many, many places. B'chol Derechecha Da'eil means, in all your ways you know Hashem. There's ways of Torah mitzvahs that Hashem tells us to do a mitzvah, we do it. But a greater level is in our own things which are not mitzvahs. Sort of the eating, sleeping, business, life in general. Over there, Mishlei says, no, the next page, Samach Gimel, right before the right line. Over there, the Shlomo HaMelech says, in all your ways, meaning not in the ways of Hashem mitzvahs, but even in your ways, do'el, you have to know Hashem. And that's the essence of the whole Torah, that a Jew has a relationship with Hashem, that everything physical in the world becomes, so to speak, a dwelling place for Hashem. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation is, as Ahmed Avad says, afilu ledvar aveira. Even when it comes sometimes to a sin, you also have to know Hashem. Which here, there's also different interpretations. One interpretation is that even in those ways that you go against Hashem, for instance, when Eliyahu HaNavi made a bomb, an altar on Har HaKarmel, even though he wasn't allowed to, but because he was a prophet and Hashem told him this is a unique situation, so seemingly he went against the Torah, even then you're supposed to know Hashem. But as the Mefarshim clearly say, it doesn't apply to a guy that says, okay, I'm going to sin today and I'm going to know Hashem and it's going to be as great as Eliyahu HaNavi on Har HaKarmel. We're talking about those were prophets. Hashem said, now there's an exception to the rule. We can't make the exceptions. Halacha, Hashem has to make the exception. So he says, even when you do something that seemingly goes against Hashem, a person also has to, at that time, keep Hashem in mind. Or like we said, when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi decided to write the oral tradition formally, even though it was forbidden to do, but he did it, mamish, for the sake of Hashem. Because otherwise people are going to forget Torah completely. Then the Gemara says, Dadish Bar Kapada said, Le'elam yilamed adam is b'nei umnes k'niki v'kala. There's an obligation, the Mishnah says in Kedushin, that a father has an obligation to teach a son a trade. Mm-hmm. So Bar Kapada comes along over here, what trade should you teach him? A clean and easy trade. So the Gemara says, Mahi, what does that mean? Amar Rav Chista says, Machta de Tamiyusa. Stitching, like it says, they used to embroider jackets with row of stitches that looked like a plow field. So that was a clean, easy trade. It didn't have to, as the Mefarshim say, you didn't have to steal. You didn't
just one trade.
Huh? Yeah. But the Gemara gives an example. And there's the. He brings down here from the Chiddush Arim that some people are in the same business, some are wealthy, some are broke. He says, so it doesn't pay to go to a hard trade, you might as well learn an easy trade, because it comes from Hashem anyway. The Parnassa. So he says, why do you make your kid crazy doing a trade when the Parnassa anyway comes from Hashem, so you might as well teach him an easy trade. Then the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned on the Braise. Rabbi Yemer, Rabbi says, La'elam al ye'ar ba'odam re'im b'seich b'seich. Person should never invite too many friends into the house. Shenamar, because it says in the Pasik, also in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ish Reim Lehisrei Eya. A man with too many friends is destined to fight. Basically, as Rashi explains, this refers to people that you don't have too much to dealing with. You don't have too much to deal with, and because you don't have too much to deal with, you end up going to be fighting over them, and you're going to be blamed, and so on and so forth.
You're going to be half as people.
Yeah, he's not talking about not having friends. He said inviting them to your house, meaning you're getting too close to them, because inevitably you're going to fight with them. That's what he says. Tanya Rabbi Yemi Rabbi said, Al yimna adam apetupras b'teich beisi. A person should avoid appointing an administrator in his house. Now, for orphans, the halacha is Bezdin had to establish an administrator, an apotropis, because they couldn't take care of themselves, obviously. But a regular person shouldn't do it. Why? So the Gemara says, Shalmala lemina petifar siyasef apotropis petzech beisei. Because if petifar wouldn't have appointed Yosef as the administrator of his house, his wife would have never started up with him. Potiphar's wife started up with Yosef because he was handsome and powerful and he ran the whole household, so she wanted him. But if he wouldn't have been the administrator, it would have never come to this test that Yosef had with Potiphar's wife.
Is that not from God to test?
Yeah, but the Gemara said there's Ruchnius and there's Gashmius. The Gashmius of it is you have to do things that don't allow a person to be tested.
Same as male servant.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it depends what the Gemara really continues in this. Tanya, another Braisa that Rabbi said along the similar level. He says, Rabbi Eimer, Rabbi says, Lama nismach ha-parshas nozai le-parshas seita. In the Chumash, in Parshas Nozai, the Torah puts the laws of seita next to the laws of a nozir.
Yeah.
Okay, in Revi and Nozai, which is very, very long aliyah, it deals with the laws of Saita and also the laws of a Nazirite. Mm-hmm. Now Saita is the wife that the husband accuses that she's committing adultery, and he warns her, don't be with that guy, and then she ends up being with him, and the whole story. So the Gemara says, why did the Teda, Rebbe said, why did the Teda put Parshas Nazir next to Parshas Saita? Leimelach to teach us, Shakola Re'a Saita Bekukola, whoever sees a Saita in a ruining state, Yazid Atzmi Minayayin separates himself from wine. Why? Because wine is the cause of all evil. Because you become lewdness and all that. So it says, if Hashem showed you, and it's interesting, you see here the Ashkocha, the way even the Gemara learns about Ashkocha Pratis. Why did Hashem make you aware of a Saita? To teach you something. What does the Torah teach you? You're not a Saita. Why is the Torah making you see it? Because the Torah is teaching you a lesson that if Hashem made that you were aware of a Saita, the Torah wants to teach you a lesson. That perhaps you're prone to it, and therefore, you should separate yourself from wine. So the Torah puts the two together. And then the Gemara says another thing. Amr Chizkiah b'reid Raparnuch, Amr Rabbi Yechanan. Chizkiah, the son of Raparnuch, says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Lama nismach ha-parsha seita le-parshas truma se-maisers. Why is the law of parsha seita next to the laws of truma and maiser also? Lemelach, to tell you, the kol she-yashli truma se-maisers. Whoever has the produce to give through a meiser from. Vein and Nathan came and he doesn't give it to the Kayan. Seif nitzrach l'kayin ayideisha. You're going to end up by the Kayan anyway because you're going to have to bring your wife there to drink the Saita water. You know, the Gemara says very simple. The Torah puts Saita next to meiser to tell you, listen, you have to end up by the Kayan. The best way is bringing the tithes and the truma and all that to the Kayan, because if not, you're going to end up there anyway. How? Because you're going to end up having to bring your wife to the Kohen because you're accusing her of adultery. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, V'ish es kadoshav, that a man is holy things, lo yihiya, will be for him. And right away it says, ish ish ki sishte ishte, if a person will accuse his wife of adultery. And right away it says, V'hevi o ish es ishte, you're going to have to bring your wife to the Kohen, Beisaita. So it teaches us first, in other words, in Chumash, it goes like this. It deals with the laws of tithing, then the laws of a Saita, then the laws of a Nazir. So the Gemara is connecting first Saita to Nazir, that if you see a Saita, separate yourself from wine. And then the Gemara goes in reverse. that first is tithing and then seiter, because if you're not going to bring the tithings to the Kohen, then you're going to end up bringing your wife to the Kohen anyway, because you could commit adultery. I mean, she's going to commit adultery. V'loy eid. And not only that, if you don't give truma and meiser to the Kohen and to the Levi, elish seif nitzruch lehem, you're going to fall into poverty and they're going to have to give you the tithes. In other words, if you have money, you don't give it to the Kohen, so the end result is you're going to become poor and you're going to have to get the tzedakah, so to speak.
And what is it in this case? Now it's just giving
Torah. Yeah, the Gemara is going to say in a second. One second. Shenemer, because it says, V'ish es kedosha, the man's, the holy things, lo yihyu, they'll be for him. And then they'll end up having to get it yourself. Amr Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchok says, Im dosnam, what happens if you do give the tithes and the gifts of tzedakah? Seif misashir, then you get rich. Why? Shenemer, because it says in the pasuk, Isha sheyiten lakoin lo yiyah, when you give it to the Kohen, lo yiyah, meaning mom and harbi, you're going to get a lot of money. You're going to get a lot of money. It says also by tzedakah, well really the pasuk says by meiser, what do we read? It's in Parshas Re, but we read it in Yom Tov. Aser to aser simply means tithe, you should tithe your fields every year. But the Gemara learns, what's the double expression, tithe, you should tithe? So the word aser comes to the word ashir, rich. Aser to aser, by giving the 10%, the tithe, to aser you will get, to ashir, you will get rich. So the Gemara says, by giving tzedakah, you don't lose money, you get money. And in fact, the Gemara says, and the pasuk b'chanuni na b'zeis, Hashem says, the only mitzvah you're allowed to test me with is tzedakah. In other words, to make a deal, that if you tell the God, I'm giving tzedakah on the condition my son should become healthy. You can only make deals with God with tzedakah. I give tzedakah, I want this in return from you. And that's the only mitzvah you could test God with. Gemara says.
But still can't expect anything.
No. In fact, Tesis in the Gemara, when the Gemara brings it down, it thinks it's Pesachim, that the Gemara says if somebody gives a tzedakah and the condition my son lives, he's a tzadik gomor. So Tesis asks a question. It says in Pirkei Avos, you should serve God not for reward. Mm-hmm. And here you're telling the person you could serve God for reward, you're a tzadik gomor. So Tesis answers an interesting answer. Tesis says, it depends really what happens if you give the tzedakah and your son doesn't get better. Do you regret giving the money or not?
Can't take it back.
Yeah, I know you can't take it back, but do you regret it? In other words, if you give, let's say, a seller was the coin, and the condition my son lives, and you're tzadik gomor, when though, that even if, God forbid, he doesn't live, and you don't regret the fact that you gave the tzedakah, then you're a tzadik gomor. So then you're really not ultimately serving God only for reward. Because if you're doing it only for the outcome, then you're going to regret what you did. So then it doesn't matter, Tesis says. Even though you're giving it for the sake of,
return.
A return, yeah.
Why is it saying only to the coin? Why doesn't it say just simply giving tzedakah?
Because the psukim that we have is basically talking about meiser and giving the things to the kohen. But the Gemara learns, aser is on the whole mitzvah tzedakah. But this, the psukim that deal with it, is the ultimate tzedakah that you bring from your things to the kohen.
But does it refer also possibly to giving tzedakah to a kohen first before giving to anybody else, or not necessarily?
No, there were certain obligations. If you had a field, you had to first give the 10% to the Kohen.
Yeah.
Well, the Terumah wasn't 10%. It was 1 out of 40, 50, or 60. Depending if you're a nice guy or not. But Maisa that you gave originally to the Levi, Maisa which was given to the Levi, was 10%. Or if they had the tithing of the animals, that also went to the Kohen.
Any Kohen you choose.
Any Kohen you chose. That's the only right you have, is to choose your Kohen. And there's a whole argument in the Gemara, is that considered a monetary value or not?
Would that Kohen be your relative?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. For instance, if I have, let's say, truma to give to a kohen, and I want to give it to you. You're a kohen, I want to give it to you. And you come to my house and you grab it. And you say, listen, it's not yours anyway, you have to give it to the kohen. Right? So I'm a kohen. You have the right to give it, but the value of the stuff, the $100 of the truma, is not yours. So the question is, can I demand from that kohen what's called teves hanah? Teves hanah means the benefit that I have to give it to the kohen of my choice. Is that money value or not? There's an argument in the Gemara for this. But technically, it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the kohen.
So you can come and take it?
It's not the right thing to do. But if a kohen is a not nice guy and does it,
you can't prosecute.
The only question is, and this is the argument in the Gemara, if Tevis Hanah is mammon, can I get back from him the amount? But for the kohen, be worth it. Because how much would Tevis at $5? You know, the benefit that I can give it to the kohen of my choice is not worth as much as the grain is worth. You know what I mean? So it might be worth for a kohen to grab $100 worth to give back $10. But it's not the nice thing to do. It's not menschlich.
Is a coin? Is a Russian?
You allow? Technically, you can give it to him.
What if some don't get it because they? It's not.
They have no friends.
Huh?
Because they have no friends.
Right. If they don't have, so what happens to those people?
Nothing.
They don't get it.
He's gonna grab it.
it'll become a nicer person. I don't know what I'll do.
But is it okay for a coin to give to another coin?
A coin? What? He doesn't have to give 10%.
No, but I mean, if I got something, decided to give it to another, I could do that.
Any coin could eat it.
You can't
give it to Levi or Yisrael, though. Truma. Truma can only, depends what. Truma is only can only be eaten by a coin. What the Levi gets 10%, anybody can eat it. It's not holy. Truma is holy. If a non coin eats truma, they get killed by Hashem.
Now,
to another kohen, yeah, but not because only a kohen could eat it.
Yeah.
Now, when Ezra went up to build the second base of Migdash, the Levium didn't go back with him. They wanted to stay in Bavel. They liked Golus. They didn't want to go back. So Ezra fined the Levium that the 10% they don't get anymore, and it also goes to the kohen. Because a kohen is also a Levi. Right? He comes from the tribe of Levi. So Ezra fined the Levium that they don't get it.
Forever?
Well, for the duration of that time. When Mashiach comes, everything's going to be back to normal.
So nobody came from the Ezra? No.
The Levium, very few. Most of the Levium didn't. But the Kohenim did. Okay. Amr Avuna bar Brachia Mishum Rab Lozer HaKafir. Rab Huna bar Brachia says the name of Rab Lozer HaKafir. Kol HaMishtatev Sheh Shemayim B'Tzavir. Whoever makes the name of Hashem as a partner in his problems, in his distress, Keflin LePanasasi, they double your Panasim. What he means over here is either that he davens to Hashem, like Rashi says, it means, number one, that it says the Bracha Dayin HaEmes, that even though it's a tragedy, he still thanks God. Or Rashi's, that he davens to Hashem. But in other words, the fact when the person has problems, he still connects himself to Hashem, whether by blessing Hashem for the bad, or davening to Hashem. So the din is, kefnei panasasi, they double your panasa. Your livelihood is doubled. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, V'hayu shaddai b'tzarecha, that if Hashem will be included in your tzaris, v'chefes tayaf islach, then double the money to you. So you see that if the person brings Hashem into his problems, it's still the level that he gets doubled. Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar, Parnasasim me'yfefes le'er like a ketzipur. His parnasi is going to fly to him like a bird. What does it mean, fly to him like a bird? Just like a bird flies without any difficulties. Your panasa is going to come to you easy. Because a bird flies easy. And then it says, Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, V'kesef toyafes loch, and toyafes, here, the first thing I interpreted it to mean doubled. Here the Gemara said, Teyafes will fly. So it's going to fly to you, meaning it's going to come easy. Amr Abtavi, Amr Rabbi Yeshia. Abtavi said the name of Rabbi Yeshia. Kol Amirapa Atmi B'divri Teyra. Whoever weakens himself from learning Teyra, meaning he has no kayach to learn Teyra, Ein B'kayach Lamed B'yem Tzad. He's not going to have kayach to stand up in a day of distress. Teyra strengthens the person. The personality of the person is strengthened. Like it says, Hashem Eiz Lama Yitin. God gives strength through Teyra. Teyra is the strength of the Jew. So when a person has strength of Teyra, so then he's able to handle distress. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
There's another place where it says learning of the weekends.
Physical. The physical weakening of the person. In fact, there's the famous story in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, probably. No, I don't remember the Gemara is. But anyway, Reish Lakish of the Gemara, the famous Reish Lakish was a gangster. Mamish a robber, the Gemara says, he was a gangster, initially. And Rabbi Yochanan was very beautiful, very handsome. And Reish Lakish was once on the other side of the river, and Rabbi Yochanan was bathing. And he was a gangster and thought it was a woman because of the beauty. So he jumped across the river. When he saw his Rabbi Yochanan, the man, Rabbi Yochanan turned to him and said, if this is your strength and you utilize your strength for Torah, you can imagine what will become of you. Rabbi Yochanan said to him, if you study Torah, Rabbi Yochanan saw in him a great neshama. So Rabbi Yochanan said to him, if you study Torah, I will give you my wife is more beautiful than me. My sister is more beautiful than me. So Reish Lakish agreed, and he tried to jump back. He couldn't do it. So already the Torah weakened, and Reish Lakish became Rabbi Yochanan's brother. No, he always fought in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they're very close, but in learning they always fought. So Reish Lakish became Rabbi Yochanan's brother, and the Gemara uses that expression that sheshes kechus shel adam. It weakens the physical power of a person because the person is learning and they're not exercising and they're not eating and they're not moving. You know, it just weakens the person. It strengthens the personality, but not the physical. He doesn't become a bodybuilder.
To do some...
Huh? Not only that, he's not into bodybuilding, into learning, you know. So, okay, Shinamar, where do we see this? Because it says, Hirapisa b'yem tzara tzar kechecha. If you weaken yourself, it's rapisa, you weaken yourself. And the Gemara learns from Teda, so then, b'yem tzara, in a day of distress, in a day of problems, tzar kechecha. Your strength will be restricted. Tzar from the word restricted. Amar Avami Bar Masna Amar Shmuel. Avami Bar Masna said the name of Shmuel. Afilu mitzvah achas. This applies even if you weaken yourself even in one mitzvah. Not the b'chlal and teira mitzvahs. Even if you weaken yourself in one mitzvah that you don't do the mitzvah properly, it also weakens your strength. Shenamar hisrapisa. If you weaken yourself, it doesn't say a lot, a little. It just says, you weakened yourself. Become okay in any way whatsoever. Okay? Now starts a very interesting story. Amr of Safra said, just to give a preface the story a little bit. When the Gemara talks about tzaddikim, you have to understand, these are not people with egos, and because they have no yetzahara. These are people that everything is done l'shem shemayim. Okay, because we'll see the story over here. Amr Rav Safra said the following. Rababu Ava Mishtoyu, Rababu was once speaking, and he told the following story. Rababu told the story. What was the story? Kshayorel Chanina ben Achir Rabbi Yeshua Lageila, when Rabbi Chanina, the son of Rabbi Yeshua's brother, meaning Rabbi Yeshua's nephew, Rabbi Chanina went Lageila to Golus. He was making leap years, and he was establishing months outside Eretz Yisrael. Now the din is, let me just give an introduction. The Gemara says, you're only allowed to make, they didn't have calendars, right? So there was one of the main jobs of the Beis Din, which was a very complicated job, is to know when a month has 29 days, when a month has 30 days. Like we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, 1 day of Rosh Chodesh. When there's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, the month has 30 days. When there's 1 day of Rosh Chodesh, so then there's only 29 days in the previous month, right? That's the way it works. And they had to figure out which month should be 29, which month should be 30. So that took a lot of koyach from Beis Din. Then Beis Din also had to figure out when to make a leap year with an extra Adar. You know, when you have a leap year and a regular year. Okay? Now Beis Din, the Gemara says, only the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael was allowed to do it. There were exceptional cases that you're allowed to do it in Chutz Laretz, but that's only if you were the greatest guy of the generation and you happened to be in Chutz Laretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now today, we have a calendar set up, right? It was set up by the grandson of the famous Hillel, and we already have a whole system of 19-year cycle in the Jewish calendar, and from the 19-year cycle, we know exactly which months are 29, which months are 30. The only months, Cheshvan and Kislev, and our calendar, sometimes they can have 29 and sometimes 30. But every other month, we know exactly how many days the month is. But based on the 19-year cycle, we have everything's figured out, you know, how it works. And in the 19-year cycle, 12 years are non-leap years and 7 years leap years. Because after 19 years, it equals out the solar calendar with the lunar calendar. But nowadays we have it all figured out by a calendar. They did this pre-computers, by the way. And they did this by figuring out everything, all the details of when you see the moon and the angles and all that. So the Gemara says, this Chanina, Rabbi Yeshua's nephew, went to Chutz Laretz and he started doing this, making leap months. Leap months means when a month has 30 days instead of 29. And leap years, and he was all doing this. And the rabbis in Israel were very upset. Why is he doing this? You have to be in Israel to do it. You can't do it. He was a great person. But they said, you can't do this in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, Chutz Laretz, you can only do it in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? Shigru acharav shnei tamirei chachamim. So they sent after him two tamirei chachamim to check out the situation. Who did they send? Rabbi Yisi ben Kepar, uben b'nei Shezchari ben Kfutal. And the grandson of Shezchari ben Kfutal, who's one of the greatest guys figuring this out. So they sent two people, Rabbi Yisi ben Kefar and the grandson of Rabbi Shechayu ben Kfutal. Okay? And they sent him to tell him off. Anyway, the city sent him to chastise him. So what happened? Kivin Shirai Sam Amr Lahem. So now when Chanina saw the two scholars coming to him, Amr Lahem, he said to them, Lama Basim, why did you come? He wasn't foolish. He said, why did you come? Amr Lahem, he said to him, Lil Me Teda Ban, we came to study Teda with you. What did they want?
They didn't tell him about it?
Not yet. Why? So the Mefarshim explain, because they hoped to disarm Rabbi Chanina that he shouldn't be on the defensive, and he should become friendly with them. Mm-hmm. And after they become friendly with them, then they can get to the point, and they didn't want to come right away scream at him. This teaches us also tactics. You know, you become friendly with him, and so on. Hichriz aleim, so Rabbi Chanina, this Chanina announced about them, tis people, Anashim alolu g'deli aveis, g'deli adorim. These two people are the greatest of our generation. V'aviseim shimshu b'beis ha-migdash. And their fathers worked in the Beis ha-migdash. So they're telling the people in Chutz Laretz how great these two tzaddikim were. Ka'esa sheshanina, like we learned, Shechayah ben Kvutal aimer. Shechayah ben Kvutal said, Harbi pa'amim karisi lefanev b'sefer Daniel. The Gemara says, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, they didn't let him sleep. Why? Because they didn't want him to have, an emission of Zed of seed and he would become Tamei. So they kept him up. How did they keep him up? Number one, they put him on a cold floor. And then they would read to him. They would read to him to just keep him up, you know, because he shouldn't fall asleep. And if he woke, if he was falling asleep, they would, you know, clap or make noise to get him up. Obviously, the Satan would try to get him to sleep, right? Kohen Gadol was a great tzaddik, so I mean, okay. So Rabbi Chaim ben Kvutl said, I read many times for the Kohen Gadol on the night of Yom Kippur the book of Daniel. Mm-hmm. So he's proving to the people that, look, this person's grandfather worked in the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens? Here's Chahu Metame, when he was learning, whenever Chanina said something was Tamei, hey Metarim, they said it was Tahar. They wanted to give mistrust to Chanina in the eyes of the people. So whatever he said, they said the opposite. If he preached Tamei, they said Tahar. Mm-hmm. Who I said, if he forbid, hey Matirim. Then they permitted. The Mamish did the opposite of what he said. So the Gemara is the Hichr is Aleihem. So Chanina screamed that now that he saw what was happening, and he saw that. But also, if he said Tame, why are they saying pure? If he's saying Trey, why are they saying kosher? Halalohem Shavim. He started screaming, these people are worthless. Shalteohem, they're people of emptiness. Amrulais, so they said to him, it's too late already. Kvarbanisa, you already built up our credit, our greatness. Viata Yochel listed. You can't knock us down already. Because everybody knows we're great already. So you can't, all of a sudden, you built up our reputation. You can't all of a sudden come along and say no good. Kvargadarta, you already made a fence. Viata Yochel lifreis, and you can't break it already. So they told him it's too late. Okay, so now you have to reckon with us. Armelemsi said to them, "Why attack you? If I make a tummy, why are you making it pure? And I make a tray, if you're making it kosher." He said, "Why are you doing this to me? Why are you?" He said to them, "You're making a fool out of me, because you're telling the people that they're the greatest people in their generation, and they're saying you're saying the opposite of me. So you're making basically a fool out of me." Armelay, they said to him, because you are making leap years, and you're establishing months outside of Eretz Yisrael. We don't want you to do it. We want you to stop. Because you have no right to do it. So we want to show the people that you have no right to do what you're doing. So he says, Chanina said, listen to this. Hali Akiva ben Yosef, are you ma'ab shanim v'kaveh chadashim v'chutz l'aretz? The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Rabbi Akiva used to do it outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva did it. Making the months and the leap years and all that. So they said, Hanukh Rabbi Akiva, he answered them, leave God Rabbi Akiva, Shleniach Kamesi Eretz Yisrael. There's nobody as great left as him in Eretz Yisrael. And the din is, like we said before, if there's nobody left as great as this, if you're the greatest one of the generation, and nobody in Eretz Yisrael is as great as you, you're allowed to do it in Chutz La'aretz. So Rabbi Akiva was the greatest. Mm-hmm. So you had no right to do it. I mean, Rabbi Akiva had a right to do it, but you're not. Listen to this. There's nobody as great as me in Eretz Yisrael either. Chanina said. So therefore, I'm allowed to do it in Chutz La'aretz. Amrulay said, he said to him, it's interesting. Listen, it's a beautiful expression. Gedayim she'inachta, the kid goats, the little goats that you left, Natsit Yoshim became rams, Bali Kanayim with horns. He says, what do you mean? You left Eretz Yisrael a long time ago. You left over little kids, but these little kids grew up to be the big scholars. So there are people as great as you in Eretz Yisrael. But it's interesting, because the Mefarshim point out, if you look in the Gemara, Chanina didn't say Rabbi Akiva. He said Akiva ben Yosef. Mm-hmm. Which meant he was a buddy. He didn't say Rabbi Akiva. It was a first name basis without the Rebbe. That means he was so great that he was a colleague of Rabbi Akiva. So he said, if Akiva could do it, why can't I do it? So they told me, Rabbi Akiva is the greatest, you're not. He said, yes, I am. They said to him, no, because the little kids grew up and they became
scholars.
And those scholars, Shigruna Etzloch, sent us to you. V'chein amru lanu, and this is what they told us, l'chu v'imru le b'shmeinu, to tell us, tell him in our name, tell Chanin in our name, that he should stop. Im shemeya, if he listens, that he'll stop, mut of good. V'im lav, yeh benidah, let him be in chedim.
How will they keep up with the Moyanim?
No, because the people in Eretz Yisrael were great enough to be able to do it.
How would they know when to...
So what happened was, that's why we have 2 days Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael. Because they had made the things in Israel, and then they sent out messengers. So because the messengers in Chutz La'aretz took more than 15 days to get there, they didn't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. That's why we have 2 days Yom Tov, and in Israel they have only 1 day Yom Tov. Even though today we have a calendar, but we go by the meaning of our forefathers, but they didn't know. And therefore they kept 2 days Yom Tov, because it could be 29 days or 30 days. So when Sukkot and Pesach came around, they didn't know in Chutz La'aretz which day was the real day of Rosh Chodesh. But in Eretz Yisrael, they knew. They didn't have telephones and fax machines and the internet, email to let everybody know. So they did it on horseback, Pony Express, to let everybody know. So now Yisrael, they were able to know within 2 weeks. And now to the Yisrael, they didn't know. Okay, the Amru, and then they said, you should say, the two rabbis are saying, top of the page, they're saying to the people, V'amru l'achenu, tell to our brothers there, im sheimam, if they listen to us that Chanina stops and they don't pay attention to Chanina anymore, mut of good. V'im lav, and if not, yalu lahad achya, they're going to go up to the mountains that they used to build idol worshipping, v'yivna mizbeach, and they're going to build a mizbeach. In other words, the rabbi said to the people, if you don't listen to us and don't listen to Chanina anymore, the end result is you guys are all going to be worshipping idols. So they threatened the people. They said, Chanina, if you don't stop, we're going to put you into Chedem. We're going to excommunicate you. And if the people don't stop, we're just telling you, the end result is you're all going to be worshipping idols. And Chananya, Yenagim Bekinor, Chananya, they said that this guy Chanina will end up singing with the harp of idol worshipping. V'yichapnu kulam, and he's going to deny everything. V'yayman, they're going to say, Ein lam chelek v'lokei Yisrael, you're not going to have any portion in the God of Israel. So what the rabbi said to the people is a very powerful statement. If you're not going to listen to us, this is considered idol worshipping. That's what they said. This is considered idol worshipping by not listening to us. Even though this is only about making the months and the years and so on, they said, if you're not listening to us, we decree that this is idol worshipping. Miyad, immediately, Gol kolam bepchiyat, the entire nation in Golus started crying, and they said, Chas v'sholem, because they were being called now idol worshippers, right? They said, God forbid, Yesh lanu chelek b'lakei Yisrael. We have a chelek in the God of Israel. They said, we're not going to listen to him anymore. So the Gemara says, V'kol kach lama, why taka did it have to be done only in Eretz Yisrael? Gemara says, why couldn't they do it in Chutz La'aretz? So it says, because it says in the pasuk, Ki mitziyin teitzei teira, from Tziyin, from Yerushalayim, is where Teira goes out. So they have to understand the big bezdin of authority is in Eretz Yisrael. Afterwards, outside of Eretz, especially in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there's no, you can't make this government. So the Gemara asks, 1 second, just to finish the Gemara. The Gemara asks, what happened was like this. If Chanina purified, they made it impure. But if he forbid, they made it kosher. So the Gemara says, I understand, if he made it pure, they could say impure because all they did was went stricter. But how can they be more lenient than him if he was right?
Yeah.
That's the Gemara says, Bishlamo metarve metamein. Mele in the case when he purified and they said impure is luchumra. I understand that you could do. But Elohu mitame ve mitadim. But if he said tomei, how were they allowed to say tahar? Well, we learned chacham shetamei. If a chacham ate tamei, if a chacham ate something tamei, your kali cannot make it kosher. So how did they make kosher what he said was treif? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Kasarva, they thought, they did it mamish, you're right. Normally you're not allowed to do it. But here was an exception. They had to show that he was so wrong. They, again, broke Teda to save Teda. You're right. Once he said Tameh, technically they couldn't have said Tahar. But why did they do it? That people shouldn't be following him. And that's, okay.